I'd like to ask you if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Allow me, if you would, to read from this morning's bulletin an article written by our dear friend who's gone on to be with the Lord, Pastor Henry Mahan. He titled, "What is Your Hope? Lay the Foundation of Your Hope in Jesus Christ. Begin with Christ and end with Christ. As Christ Jesus becomes more to you, self will grow less and less. If your faith puffs you up, it is not the faith of Christ. God will help us when we are weak. He will bless us as long as we confess our dependence upon His blessing. He will fill us when we are empty. He will feed us when we are hungry. He will be our all when we are nothing. He will forgive us when we are guilty. But the moment we begin to boast in ourselves and feel sufficient, we will be left to learn in no uncertain terms that we are naked, poor, blind, and miserable. Terrible will be the day when proud rebels discover too late that the dust and the ashes are of human merit." I've given you the title for this morning's message, Exhorting One Another. That's what that article was all about. I know he spoke about our faith, and I know he spoke about our weaknesses in the faith and how the Lord will give us strength. But that's why he spoke of those things, to exhort you and I, to build us up. We can listen and read articles like this by men and see that we're in that boat. We're having the same trouble as what maybe inspired him to write that. Maybe I am struggling a little bit with boastfulness. Don't tell me you don't it sometimes. We're all human. We all do, don't we? I mentioned this in Bible study. Folks, if you say you don't sin now, you realize you're making God out to be a liar, and therefore you're sinning. There's sin in every one of us. We're going to fight that battle. We're onward Christian soldiers. We believe in Christ, but we keep fighting the good fight, don't we? The fight of faith, the fight in believing Christ. I know my flesh is trying to do this, and sometimes I think it's winning, but folks, it never does. It never does. God's already put it away. I mentioned this, it's also in Bible study. A good friend of mine says, "I may be doing what's wrong, but God has never done anything that's wrong. And if He's allowing me, like Jonah, to run off, it's for my good and the good of God's people." Plain and simple as that. Our Lord does all things good. And what an exhortation that is to you and I. We come to the table of remembrance to do what? To remember that we can rest in His works. The perfect works of Christ. Does that not lift you up? That's what exhortation is. It's lifting one up. When sin is engulfed you in one way or another, whether it be the sin of the world, and there's plenty of that, but there's plenty more, just as much right here in this body of flesh. When the sin has just overwhelmed us in some way or another, or maybe we think everything's going good right now. My mind's been on the right level with God. I'm doing the right things. Folks, that's when we're most vulnerable to our weaknesses right there. When we start getting a little puffed up. Oh, I know I'm saved. When we forget we're that beggar over in the corner begging for God to have mercy on me today. Now. And again, in 5 minutes, and again, in 5 minutes, and again, in 5 minutes. Over and over again. To be exhorted by those who love God as much as I do. Do you realize that you folks, just being here, not because of John, I know you're not here because of me, because there's way better men that you could go listen to than me. I don't say anything. I know there are. I'm the weakest link as far as I'm concerned in God's chain that He's got. I'm down there at the bottom. So I know you're here for something other than me. You're here to hear the Word of God. You're not exhorted in me. You're exhorted in what is being preached. The good news, the message. And the message is the same every Sunday. It's Christ and Him crucified. We point you to Christ. That's who you're being exhorted by. That's what you're being exhorted by. Well, you showing up desiring that exhortation from God exhorts me. It helps me to keep on keeping on. Imagine what if you were in the position of a pastor or a preacher or whatever, and you had a church, a congregation, and one day just somebody showed up, including your wife. I couldn't comprehend what those poor dear men that were back east that had to cancel services during the COVID. They literally came in and set up their cameras and preached to the camera only. I couldn't do that. I don't even understand what that. I'm so glad we didn't. I'm thankful to the Lord that we didn't spread the disease even worse. But I just couldn't. I don't know that I could continue it. You folks exhort me just being here. You lift me up. You show me God's people are still here, even here in rescue. God's people that need to hear the truth. Maybe you've heard about that Jesus who's trying and you said, I don't want anything to do with that. Only place I know to go is rescue. Or Yuba City. Or maybe down to San Diego. Or maybe one of the other churches where they preach the truth. I got to hear the truth. Isn't that the way with you? I've heard a brother James tell me, and he's poor guy, he's had COVID more than anybody I know of. It's like he's a magnet attracting it or something. But he's come to me afterwards, after at least two or three of them, of his bouts with COVID, and said, man, I couldn't wait to get back here to hear the gospel preached. What an exhortation. What a lifting up. What a boosting. There's a man who needs to hear. I ask, is there any here this morning? Oh, I see faces who do need it. I'm so thankful that God still has people here in Rescue and many other places. We have folks in Arizona. We have a man out in Kansas. I asked him, Greg Roberts. I've never met him. I hope it's not until after we've left this world that I get a chance to meet him. But I've never met him in person. I asked him one time, I said, where do you go to church out there, Craig? And he goes, John, I've been to several churches. There are nobody, if been anywhere that I can go to, that preach like you do. What an exhortation. What an exhortation. Look with me, if you would, at verses 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the beginning of every message right there. We boldly come before the throne of grace, but not in anything we can do of ourselves. We know, I mentioned this again in the Bible study, we're like that blind man. I don't know who healed me. I don't know a lot about it. I know it was a man by the name of Jesus. I don't know much about him, but I do know this. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Could you imagine that? For the first time ever, that man saw what it was to be blue. He looked at the skies and he saw blueness in the sky. He said, I could never see that before. He knew he was blind. You and I know that we were blind to the truth. That we had no way to approach God. Well, we may have thought we had ways, didn't we? But when God comes to us and calls us out of that darkness, we know. We know a few things. And one of those few things we know is that we can come to the throne of grace with boldness, not in anything of ourselves, but in the blood of Jesus. The blood that washes us white as snow. The blood that cleanses us and perfects us before God. Because that's the only thing God will accept, folks, is perfection. We have therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated, which He had prepared, which He had provided all for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Remember what the veil was? You remember what that was in the temple? The veil was this really thick, heavy coat material. It was, some said it was like 5 inches thick. That's how thick it was. You could get right up there with a magnifying glass and you're not looking through that. And only one person could go through that veil, and that was the high priest. Did you know that Jesus Christ has done that for us? He went through that veil. He is that veil. And when He died on that cross, that veil was ripped wide open for all of His people to come through and see who it is that's behind that veil. The holiest of holies. By a new and living way which He had consecrated us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Remember what the subject was last week? That very rock. The very rock that is the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Son of the living God. Upon that rock, God will build His church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance and faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging, lifting each other up, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, how I pray that all I say and do would exhort my brothers and sisters in Christ, lifting each other up in spirit, encouraging one another to stand strong in the faith. Mark your place there in Hebrews 10. We'll come back to it. But I want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 3 for just a moment. In Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 1 with me. Wherefore, holy brethren, we're talking about exhorting one another. This is what Paul is doing here with the Hebrews. Wherefore, because of all that he had wrote to them in chapters 1 and 2, he says, wherefore, holy brethren, if we look at each other as we are, as God looks at us, there'll never, ever, ever be a problem between God's people. If God's people would just stop looking each other in the flesh and start looking at each other in the Spirit of God, we would see that each and every one of you that I can see here and that I can see on the internet, each and every single one of you are as pure as Christ Himself. How could I hold anything against you? Can you hold anything against Christ? Absolutely not. If you're in Christ, you're as pure as He is. Holy brethren. Holy brethren. What a great statement of exhortation. Paul saying that you are as holy as He is, and it's not something in His flesh, but it's in Christ that we're holy. It's in Him. Holy brethren. Partakers. He didn't even stop with that, with being holy brethren. You're not just holy, you're partakers. You're part of this inheritance that we receive through Christ. You're right there along with me. You have it all. You have everything. He who did not withhold the death from His Son, He who gave His Son for us, how shall He not give us the whole thing? How shall He not give you everything? He gave you His Son. Isn't that good news? Paul's exhorting these Hebrews. He says next, he says, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider. Stop and think about it for a moment. spirit, in your mind. For just a moment, stop and think about this one who is an apostle. You know what that is? Yeah, did you know that Christ Jesus was an apostle? He was the apostle. The apostle. Those other guys, the other 12, they were just men that God had assigned as apostles to go out and prove that they were sent of Him. Christ is the one who they did their miracles through. In the name of Jesus, this man got up and walked. Isn't that what they said in the book of Acts chapter 2? In the name of Jesus, this man got up. Not in the name of Peter, not in the name of one of the apostles, but in the name of Jesus. Well, Jesus is an apostle, a messenger with power to prove who He is. He told men over and over again, and He proved who He was by what He did. No man had ever fed 5,000 people with a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. Christ proved it over and over and over again that He was God. The divineness of God in the flesh. Consider Him. It says that at the end of the verse there, doesn't it? Christ Jesus, consider the apostle. And then Paul goes and he doesn't stop there. What does he call him next? The high priest. He's not just the king. He's the high priest, like the order of Melchizedek. Remember him? He was king of Salem. He was the high priest of God at that time. That too is a picture of Christ, because Christ is the only one who has ever been king and high priest in one body. He calls him high priest, and then he says this about himself and you and I. The apostle and high priest of our profession. I had the honor of attending a wedding yesterday. Daniel Lesher was the young man who officiated the service. He stood before, he went down and got himself ordained by the state of California, and he officiated the service. Skyly and her now husband, Cameron. And I know we don't see Daniel very much. He's got a large family of small children. And poor Becca. They both have got their hands full with kids, little ones. And I don't get to see Daniel very often. I've had some conversations with him over the years. I know he loves to hear the gospel. I know he comes when he can. He attends many a times on the internet from his own home. But I'd never heard him speak before a group of people. You talk about exhortation, building me up, giving me a boost of confidence. Yesterday I heard that man preach Christ to a bunch of folks who could have cared less what he was saying, other than, I pronounce you man and wife. He preached Christ. That just blessed my heart more than I heard his dad, who hardly ever says a word about anything other than good message and he's out the door and gone. I heard his dad preach or pray a prayer and just praise the Lord. Give God all the glory. He professed God in the face of his son, the Lord Jesus, before everyone there. It wasn't a long, lengthy prayer. You don't have to say it in words that take a whole hour. People know who Shane's God is after hearing him pray for that food, the blessings on the food. All blessings, he said, flow through you. And he's absolutely right. Oh, it's so good to hear. What an exhortation to hear from those two men yesterday. Consider. Paul says to you and I, the apostle, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Consider Christ the faithful one. We've spoken a lot about faith over the last few weeks. And it always comes down to this, and be reminded of this. It's not our faith that we look to for our comfort. It's who our faith is in. Him who is faithful in all that he did. You know what he was faithful to? He was faithful to his Father. God the Father said, I give you this people, but this people needs to be saved. And Christ said, I'll do it. And he did. Perfectly. And when he was done, he said these words, it's finished. It's done. This is my heart's desire. This is my thought as I prepare this message this morning. My desire is to exhort you, exhort one another. I noticed these words that the writer is not addressing the preachers, the pastors and the deacons alone. Notice in verse 19 he says, brethren. That's all of us. Back in our text, I'm sorry, you're still in Hebrews 3, huh? Back in our text in Hebrews 10. Look at verse 19. He says, brethren. The words are all the people of God. This separation between the Church of San Diego and our dear brother Kevin breaks my heart to no end. For both sides. I love Kevin dearly. He's a child of God as far as I'm concerned. But so are the folks there at the church. And the fifth thing I heard was this, what's going to happen to the church? And my only thing I could think of to bring comfort when that question was asked is this. The church are you. The called out. The people of God. The children of God. That's the church. And like our Lord said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Because he builds his church on his Son, the Lord Jesus. Not on what goes on in this world around us. Notice in verse 24 what it says down there. Look down there at verse 24 again. Let us consider one another. That's why I'm going to San Diego on Tuesday. I can't help but consider one another. I consider you folks more than you know. The prayer of, Lord, what would you have me to bring for your people today? Your church? Have you ever thought about how it is that you exhort the others here at Rescue? Mark your text in Hebrews and turn over to the 122nd Psalm. Have you ever thought about how it is that you exhort each other? Roger, who sits here quietly in the front of the church, is as much an exhortation to you as you are to him. It's obvious how a preacher exhorts you. He stands up before you and he preaches Christ. Is it not? We bring messages in hopes of encouraging poor sinners in their walk before God. We point them to Christ. We sing this song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the world will turn strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Yes, we must bring out the total depravity of man, but along with that comes the grace of election. You know what election is? Election is Christ choosing a people from before the world was, despite them hating him. It's like the blind man. I know I was chosen in Christ because if he'd left me to myself, I know I would have never chose him. Along with that comes the grace of limited atonement. We know that Christ died and that his precious, honoring, divine, holy blood that he shed upon that cross that day made atonement for a people, no matter what. We stand on the scriptures of God the Father, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Along with we get the grace is irresistible. It's the grace of God. It's irresistible because once He has shined His grace, we see that all His Word is true, and we turn to the truth because of a new heart that He has given us. And of course, we never leave out of that grace because it's preserving in Him. But our text is talking about all of us, about you and about me. And I don't mean you, I don't mean me exhorting you, I'm talking about you exhorting me, we exhorting each other. How are we to exhort each other? We are to exhort each other, and the word means to call near. In other words, that is to invite, to invoke, to beseech, to call for, to entreat, to pray, lift up. King David was lifted up. A joy was raised in his heart when the people of God did something. Remember the words just before our text in Hebrews 10? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Look here at Psalm number 122. I was glad, it says in verse 1, when the people of Israel said unto me, let us go in to the house of the Lord. You're here today because you have said, let us go in to the house of the Lord. That exhorts me. That exhorts each other. Folks, if you're feeling a dreaded necessity to be here today, then something is wrong. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord like Brother David just wrote there? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Worship services should be a time of refreshment, a banquet, a feast. A feast to poor sinners who need raising up from that sin that dwells within the flesh. A feast on Jesus, the bread of life. Salvation to a sinner is a joyous thing. When one has had the depth of what they are, a sinful creature before a thrice holy God, salvation becomes our greatest desire. The house of the Lord is where we hear of this salvation. Am I glad to see you here? I am. I am very glad to see you come. I'm exhorted, I'm encouraged to see that God is still doing a work and rescue, calling His chosen people unto Himself through the preaching of His Word. Do we not get a little down when our numbers are small? Yeah. Yeah, we do. But there's still two or three here to hear God's Word. More than that even. If no one showed up, including my wife, I would be a little discouraged. Oh, how exhorted I am that you are here. Look at your brothers and sisters in Christ who have come to feast. The day of Jubilee is here today. God has brought His sheep in to graze in green pastures. We have come for the still waters. Turn over to Psalm 23 for just a moment, if you would. We won't be much longer. You know this psalm. Some of you have memorized it by heart and can say it without even reading it. But I'd like you to look at it anyway. The Lord is my shepherd. This is what we're feasting on. This is the peace that we have. Christ Jesus, the Lord, is my shepherd. And because He's my shepherd, I shall have all that I need. He maketh me, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Look who it is that maketh me. Is it something that I did? Is it some decision that I made? No, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And then He tells us what for. For His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What comfort is described in this psalm, this hymn, this psalm? Look over it. Turn over to Ezekiel. Turn to the right. Go over to Ezekiel. Just the other side of Jeremiah, a few pages, to chapter 34. God is not done with searching out His sheep. Yes, He knows where they are. They just don't know that they're His sheep yet. They're blind. They're dead. They're lame. Just as you and I were at one time. And they do not seek the One that heals. Just as you and I had not seeked after Him. Until He did a work in our hearts. Yet He sought me. And He found me. And He brings His loved ones under the sound of His word. He says, come with the power of God and by the power that is His, we come. Listen to John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Aren't you thankful for that? I asked the dear brother here recently, when did things go sour for you? What's the problem that's plaguing you? Oh, John, I just don't know that if I love the Lord. I said, well, do you believe Him? Oh, yes, I believe every word that He's true and living God. I believe all that I read in the Scriptures. I just don't know that I love Him. I said, your love has nothing to do with it. Do you believe the truth? Our love is like our faith. It's weak. Sometimes it's not even there at all. I haven't experienced the death of someone so close as a son or a daughter, but I can tell you, my imagination tells me I'd be angry. My imagination tells me that I would feel like I don't love something if somebody took one of my children or my grandchildren. I told that person, quit looking at yourself. Turn away from that stupid mirror that shows all the deadness that's in this flesh and look to Christ. You want exhortation? Look to Christ. He's our greatness. He's our righteousness. He's our wisdom. I don't need any wisdom. I don't mind being a simple man. I don't mind it one bit. Because my Lord's so wise, I don't need it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Folks, to a lost sheep, this is a joyous thing. To a blind, the blind man told all, he says, I don't know who or how or why. I just know this, that once I was blind. Look here at verse 11 of Ezekiel chapter 34, right? Look at verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Oh. That's some good words right there. As the shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I am encouraged to see sheep in this pasture. In this pasture. I am delighted to see God's not done yet. Maybe there's another that is yet to be called. How do we exhort one another? By holding fast our profession of faith. That's how. Holding fast. By provoking one another unto love and to good works. Folks, be ye holy, for your God is holy. But do this more than anything. Believe. May God give you the gift of faith to believe and to look to Him. When we have a brother in Christ, now I had a very blessed gift. His name was Bill Silva. And I would spend, as you well know, most of my days driving my truck around, making deliveries and in between deliveries. You know, that man used to be on the phone. I'd have a little thing stick in my ear. And he'd be on the phone with me as I'm going through my deliveries even. And Kathy and I were in Kentucky and Tennessee driving around. He's on the phone with me while she's sleeping in the car. And he's with me right there watching on the computer where we're going. I had such a blessed conversation with him at times. But you know, like we do in the flesh, there's times when we would get off a little bit too far on that branch. She's laughing over here because she's been in some of those conversations with me, sitting over there in the house next door. And either one of us would be quick to, whoa, wait a minute, John. You might be going just a little bit too far with that. Or I would say it to Bill. Or believe it or not, Kathy has said it to us as well. Oh, you two are getting a little bit too crazy here about oil leaking from your Harleys in heaven. You get the point. We exhort each other and bring each other back to what? This dear friend who was off on the deep end, not sure if he even loved God. You know what I did? I pointed him to Christ. You know what he would do to me? He would point me to Christ. That's exhorting us. How can I exhort you? You folks are exhorting me just being here. Just showing up on a Sunday morning. Being here today to hear the gospel preached. Buddy, I tell you. Ladies, I tell you. That exhorts me more than anything I can think. That keeps on keeping on. That's what that is. By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, so much more than we see when the day is approaching. God's grace is greater than all our sin, as we sing in that psalm. That should encourage God's people to assembly together and praise His name.